This topic is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 2. Sorry, Judges chapter 2, I beg your pardon, where we continue with our study on the introduction to the book of Judges, where we have a summary of the period of the Judges, why God has to do what he did to the people of Israel when he sent spoilers to spoil them, when he sent people to attack them, to take away their wheat, their crops, after their many hours and months of hard work, why God has to send the Philistines to kill, to punish some of God's people. Let me begin this morning by sharing with you from an illustration. Parents have children, and some children are plagued with certain illnesses from very young, not because of their own fault, but sometimes because of their defect at birth, that they are plagued with an illness that may cause their parents to spend not only large amounts of money, but many hours teaching, training, helping the children in the very simple things that we take for granted. And some parents would spend sleepless nights looking after their children when they are very sick, giving to them their best, that their children may receive the best. Spend large amounts of money and lots of time on their children. And this child who have tasted of the goodness, the grace, and the mercies, and the love of the parents, grow up. And this child would turn toward their parents and said, "You are not my father. You are not my mother. This person who has never done you a good deed in your entire life, and you call this person your father and your mother, how do you think you would feel? How do you think you would react to this child of yours? After you have given your entire life looking after that child, then the child turned around and said, 'You have done me a grave injustice. I will from this day forth call you no more father and mother. I will forsake you.' Do you think this son or daughter deserves to be punished? For this is only a glimpse of what the people of Israel did to a perfect, loving God who has chosen to take Israel to be called my people, who has given this people of Israel the privilege of being called children of the living God, people who are given a land that is called the land of promise, people who has been given the privilege of having the only way whereby they can have their sins forgiven. God has revealed that to them. Children, do you want to know what's it like to have forgiveness of sin, to make peace with the God who has created you and the whole heavens and earth? They have been given the instruction on how they can do that. People have been searching for ages on how they can have their sins forgiven. There are many who have done all kinds of atrocities to their own flesh, all kinds of self-inflicted punishment, thinking that all these acts of punishment and perhaps even good deeds may atone for their sins. And they live in darkness. They do not know the way, the truth, and the life to God, But the people of Israel have been given this privilege. And not only that, God said, I will place my home, my house in your midst, where everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, all you need to do is to turn and face Jerusalem. And when you pray in faith, I will answer. I will hear. You are my people. God was in the midst of his people. And in spite of all that God had done for them, God had lived in their midst, protecting them, watching over them. When they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, their clothing did not wear out, their shoes did not wear out. Every morning, they will have food from heaven, manna. Without fail, God would provide. They saw the mighty hand of God in their midst. And then there came a generation who had tasted of the goodness of God. And then they turned around and said, you are not my God. This little stone images, Baalim, Ashtaroth, these are our gods. These are the ones who have brought us out of Egypt. These are the ones who have blessed us with rain for our crops. These are the ones who have brought us into this land. These are the ones who have given us children. That's exactly what they did. The reason behind the wrath of God you find in verse 11, 12, and 13 of Judges chapter 2. They have chosen to forsake their God, and they were not afraid to do it in the sight of the Lord himself. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. The presence of God in the midst of Israel is like a double-edged sword. It can be a time of protection when you obey. It can be a time whereby you can feel as if you are invulnerable. No one can harm you or hurt you. Everything you do will succeed because God is in our midst. If you walk the pathway of obedience. On the other hand, when you sin against God, God will know and God will say that you have done evil in my sight. God knows. God knows, and God will use it as a charge against them. You have served Baalim. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. They have put God aside. They have forsaken God and said that, God, you are not the one who has given to me health and strength. It is by the vitamins that I'm taking. It is not you who have given to me my job. It is by my twisting and turning and by my own abilities that I have got my jobs. And it is by my own hard work, my many long hours of overtime, that I am able to keep my job. It is by my own provision that my children are well taken care of. That's what they said. These Baalims made of gold, silver, wood, and stone, these are the ones whom we will call Jehovah. Elohim, that's what it is. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, and of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them. They kowtowed to them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baalim and Ashtaroth. If God were to say it once, the Bible says we listen twice. And here in these three short verses, God has repeated himself. They forsook the Lord. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. These were the two chief gods of the Canaanites. Baal is the male, Ashtaroth is the female. They were like husbands and wives. They prayed to these gods for the fertility of the land and their women. They prayed to these gods for the rain. They prayed to these gods for protection when they go into battle. They prayed to these gods for everything. And they have forsaken Jehovah. And some of them might still be using the name Jehovah at the same time while they look at these little idols. Are we doing the same thing? We may not have literal, actual, physical gods in our homes. But if we allow anyone or anything in our lives to displace God, to displace our zeal and our fervency for God, displace our love for Him, they will become our Baalim, that is the plural, and the Ashtaroth, that's the plural in the feminine. They will be our modern-day Baalim and Ashtaroth. It can come in many, many invisible forms. The lust for the things of this world, the lust for wealth. A very good test and measure would be the time that we spend, isn't it? On the things of this world. How once upon a time we used to be so fervent. Until the Lord gave to us our good jobs, and the higher we are promoted, the less time we have for Him. Yes, we give our tithe. We come for morning service. And now we tell ourselves that was all that is needed. But in days gone by, when we were young, when we were first saved, when our hearts were burning fervently for the Lord, how we spare no effort to come to church, to attend the many fellowship groups, to attend midweek prayer meeting. It was part and parcel of your life until we enter into the working world. And then we receive blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And then we forget the Lord. Do you know something? That was exactly what God warned the people of Israel. When you enter into the land, when you will have so much to eat that you have no more worried about where you're going to have your next meal, please do not forget the Lord. Do not forget whom have brought you into this land, who has brought you into this land of promise, who is the one who has provided for your every need. Blessings upon blessings can make us very forgetful and very complacent. And very soon, pride will set in. God will be displaced. It is very, very subtle. The slide down may be very gentle, very slow, very progressive. But finally, we will still reach rock bottom. And that's how you and I can stray away and forsake the Lord without realizing it. These people were very zealous, very fervent for their Baal and their Ashtaroth. So fervent that some of them even offered their children to these gods that they may have a blessed crop. What are you and I prepared to sacrifice for our Baalim and our Ashtaroth? Our children also, they look at us and they will see how zealous and how fervent we are for the things of God. What occupies mommy and daddy's conversation most of the time at home? They know. They know. It is a very, very sad thing that in most situations, when you look at Christendom in most countries and centuries, that the second and third generation Christians are normally not the fervent, the zealous generation. It is always. You look at the first generation, people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, they were zealous and they were fervent for God. But after them, what happened? Look at Paul. Look at Timothy. Then after Timothy, where do we have? Look at the churches of the New Testament today. Where are they now? The children will look at our lives. Are we prepared to sacrifice them as well for our Baalim and our Ashtaroth? You think our children will not look at us and see how mommy and daddy are prepared to spend overtime in their places of work but never in church? They are prepared to bring us to this place and that place for our lessons, for ballet, piano, swimming, all kinds. Just across here, the swimming pool. Every Sunday morning without fail, you find many young children lapping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Before 8 a.m., they'll be there, back and forth, back and forth, and their parents there. They are prepared to do all these things for their children. For what? This body is going to grow old. Maybe one day they are going to be an Olympic champion. Fine, Olympic champion, you get an Olympic medal, the gold medal, you're going to get what? $1 million from the government, right? Right? or something like that. And then what? These have become our Baalim and our Ashtaroth. But when it comes to spiritual things, fellowship groups, YF, 6:45 p.m. So inconvenient. Mommy, daddy, not free. You can't go. YAF meetings. And then we have our CMC on Saturday. And our many children's meetings. Not free. Cannot go. Many, many things. We put priorities above that of our spiritual lives of our own children. How much are we prepared to sacrifice for our Baalim and Ashtaroth? We are really sacrificing the best years of our life. They sacrifice the best years of their life for the Baalim and Ashtaroth. And we are likewise doing the same thing. Grabbing, grabbing, grabbing. Never know when to stop. Accumulating, accumulating, accumulating. Never know when to stop. Enough doesn't seem to be enough. Once upon a time, with $10 in my pocket, I felt very rich. Now, with $100 in my pocket, I still feel very poor. True? That's what many of us are thinking. When we had $1,000 in our bank account, we felt so safe and so secure. Now, with anything less than $10,000 or $100,000, we are not satisfied. We have changed, haven't we? We have clung on to the things of this world so much that we have embraced the Baalim and the Ashtaroth of this century without ever realizing it. Oh, we still call God our God. We still call God our Heavenly Father. Is He really our Heavenly Father? Is He? Because when we forsake God, God said in the Scriptures that as a loving Heavenly Father, I will chastise you. If I do not chastise you, you are an illegitimate child. You are not my son. You are not my daughter. But if you are and you have strayed away, I will chastise you and draw you back unto myself. So if you and I have not been feeling any chastisement from God, don't sit back and live a life of complacency and debauchery thinking that all is well. Perhaps you and I have not been sons and daughters of God in the first place. But when God said, you are the children of Israel, my people who are supposed to live a testimony for the nations to see how a living God would expect a sinful people to behave, and you worship Baal and Ashtaroth, you have destroyed the testimony which I have set for you. And God said, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and they will taste the justice of God. And He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And He sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. They have entered into a covenant with God, whereby God said, you keep my commandments and my statutes. You be what God's people ought to be. You will receive blessings upon blessings upon blessings. You find it in Deuteronomy 28. But on the other hand, if you forsake my commandments, forsake my statutes, you do not want to obey me. You want to worship idols and live a life of debauchery. You see, that's what happens when people have idols in their hearts. It doesn't stop there. Their attitude towards their wives will change. Their attitude towards their children will change. They will change. They will become more and more like the world. It doesn't stop there. Their lives will become very superstitious. They will believe in good luck and bad luck. Their life will change. When they worship idols, they sacrifice their children. Their sexual life changes. They lust after other women. They lust after other men. Their life changes when they worship idols. When our love for God grows cold, do you not experience times when you become short-tempered? Do you not experience times when you become very, very depressed? You feel so easily upset by the little things that your children did. turn to Deuteronomy 28, please. And we're going to look at a few selective verses to see how God has already promised to Israel. You do not just enter into a covenant with God and select only the good stuff, the blessings, without the responsibility. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Look at verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Look at verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. What did they do? They forsake the Lord thy God, didn't they? God said, fear the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Verse 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And this came to pass when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 586 B.C., God's anger was part and parcel of the covenant that God made with the people if they disobey him. We have also entered into the covenant, a new covenant sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant that we are told to remember every time we keep the Lord's Supper, which will be the next Lord's Day. That we have entered into the covenant that includes blessings upon blessings, whereby God has promised us neither death, nor life, nor persecution, nor anything on this earth, not even Satan, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take you out of the hand of God through Christ Jesus. These are the blessings that God has given to us, the assurance, the promise that we are secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it comes with it, just like to the people of Israel, a responsibility. You call yourself a Christian, a child of the living God, and then we live a life that does not reflect the character and the nature of this living God that has revealed himself to us in the Holy Bible. And then we expect God to leave us alone. And then we call ourselves a Christian. And then the people look at us, eh? This person grabbed the things of this world just as we grab the things of this world. How is he different from us? You mean the living God that he believes in from the Bible is like this? That's what the Israelites did. That's exactly what happened when they worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth. Hey, the Philistines, I also worship Baal and Ashtaroth. They may be in different names. I call them different names, but they are like stones, just like the ones that the Israelites worship. And they call him Jehovah. They have gold and silver. We also have gold and silver for our idols. How is it different? And they are supposed to be the children of the living God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And then we expect God to sit back. God will not. God will not. This church, by the grace and mercy of God, next year we'll be celebrating our silver jubilee. By the mercies of God, God has preserved us for the past 25 years. Does it mean that God will continue to preserve us for the next 25 years if we just sit back and do nothing? No such guarantee. Remember, obedience cannot be inherited. If this generation refuses to obey, we will taste the anger of the Lord. It will be hot against us. And then our children will be the victims of our faithlessness and our unbelief. They will go somewhere else by the grace and mercy of God where they can hear the pure gospel. They will go somewhere else where they can learn to know who God is, what Jesus Christ can really mean to someone who embraces Him 100%. The justice of God is always tempered by mercy. When God disciplines His children, it is always for the purpose of restoration. And that's exactly what He did. When the people were plagued by the spoilers, when the people saw the labor of their hands, the fruit of the labor of their hands, the wheat all taken up, when they see their wives and their children being attacked, being raped, they could not take it anymore. And so they cry up to the Lord. Verse 16, the mercies of God entered immediately into the picture. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoil them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For he repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. You see, God heard the cry of His people. You and I may have lived worshipping Baal and Ashtaroth in the past, but if we are to cry to the Lord right now, the Lord will hear. The Lord heard them and sent judges to deliver them. But you know the sad thing was, when the judges came and delivered them, judges instructed them to clean house. They didn't listen. But the Lord was still with the judge. And after the judge died, the people went back to their own ways. They went back to their own stubborn way. They didn't listen. And sometimes, dear friends, God may send an illness into our lives. And while we are sick, while we are in that bed of affliction, we cry to the Lord thinking that we are about to see God face to face, and we are scared. Lord, if you will heal me, I will give my life to you. I will faithfully attend Sunset Gospel Hour. I will faithfully attend midweek prayer meeting. I will do this, I will do that. If you will only heal me. So scared, right? And then the Lord healed you. And then you go on to your old ways. We do that, don't we? That's what they did. In times when God sent the judge to protect them and everything seems to work out well, it may be 40 years, it may be 50 years. The period of judges lasted 450 years. You find it in Acts 13. 450 years. Singapore is not even 50 years old. You know how long 450 years was? Can be. These people experienced it. They were like a yo-yo in their spiritual walk with God. And then we are told in verse 20, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth dry out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, test them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua, that they may learn, that they may not be complacent. Dearly beloved, we live in a time when Christianity has many faces. You go to one church and Christianity is like a laughing house, a house of laughter, where they dance, where they have bands, where they have all kinds of synthesizer and tambourine, and they will jump up and down, and this is one kind of Christianity. And then you go to others and they will speak in tongues, and then they have miracles every Lord's Day. And in this mixture of hodgepodge of Christianity, we can be very, very confused. And Christianity can become very watered down. And the days of the Puritan, where people really live for God, where people seek purity in every aspect of their lives, has become the minority. Are we part of the majority or the faithful minority? The wrath of God is not something to be trifled with. Never, never fall into the hands of the living God, dear friend. Never, never do that. It is far better to fall into the hands of Satan himself than to fall into the hands of the living God. These enemies of the gospel, they can only hurt our body. But learn to fear God, who can hurt both body and soul. The wrath of God is fair. If God were to judge his people in this manner when they disobey him, how much more will God judge us if we die, if we perish in our sin? The Bible tells us if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and we die in our sin, we will end up in the lake of fire which burneth without end for all eternity, where there will be gnashing of teeth, pain so excruciating that we have never, never, never imagined. And it will be forever and ever and ever. As Christians who claim to bear the name of Christ, there is a responsibility that you and I must take stock of. The people of Israel, they chose not to know God and worship Baal and Ashtaroth. And they pay the price. The price was the anger of the Lord was hot against them. What about us today in Calvary BP Church Pandan? We come to church week after week. Are there Baalim and Ashtaroth in our lives? Did we think that we can hide from one another? But God knows. Because if you are saved, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit lives in us. And when we sin, we do so in the very sight of God himself. We cannot run away from God. And he will deal with us accordingly. This is not a threat, dearly beloved. A threat would be something that a bully would do to a victim. When God revealed to us his covenant, and you and I claim to have entered into a covenant with him, read what is involved in the covenant that you have entered into when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ignorance is no excuse, and that covenant is revealed to us in what we call the Bible. And if we sin and disobey him, chastisement will follow, and it comes in many, many forms. Why? Because God loves you. God does not want you to live a life of a bad witness, causing many to stumble in the process. God wants you to come back unto himself and live a life whereby when people look at your life, people will say that this indeed is a Christian. When the people look at our lives, they will praise God who is in heaven. And when God looks at your life, and God will say, this indeed is my servant, just as he told Satan, look at my servant Job, how he is so faithful to me. And then Satan said, well, of course he's faithful to you, Lord. You have blessed him with all these things. And God said, all right, you take all these things away from him. He will remain faithful. Job remained faithful. Well, take away his health. took away his health, he remained faithful. What about us? How do you want God to look at us? In anger because of our sin, his long-suffering toward us is not infinite. There is a limit to his long-suffering. We look at our own prayer life, and we definitely have not prayed as we ought. We look at how we study the scriptures, and there we have fallen short so much. We do not know God's word as we ought. We have been Christians so many years, have we not? And how much do we know of the word? This is the covenant. It's revealed in the Bible. We care so little. Dear friends, our fear is that some of us might be playing Christianity, and when the Lord comes, not all will be raptured. And that will be an awful, awful thing to experience. To be so close, so very close to heaven, and still be found outside of heaven, because you have never, never really received Jesus Christ as your Savior. May God help us. May God put the fear of God in our hearts to know that the wrath of God is not something that we can trifle with. The wrath of God was against sin. The wrath of God will still be against sin today. May God speak to our hearts this morning. May we all examine our own lives and see where we stand before him and what are the Baalim and the Ashtaroth that need to be jettisoned, that need to be forsaken. And let God help us live a holy life, pleasing and acceptable in his sight, which is our reasonable service. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, thou knowest the heart of every one of us this morning. For by thy own word, may thou convict us. Search us, O Lord, search us. If there be any wicked way in us, lead us in the way everlasting. Search our thoughts, O Lord. Help us to see how we have fallen short of thy glory. O Lord, cleanse the heart of thy people in this congregation by thy truth. Sanctify us. Wash us. May we be a testimony to those around us that indeed the one living and true God is found in this church. That we live lives that will bring glory and honor unto thy holy name. That we will not be stumbling blocks even to our own children. Be merciful to us, O Lord. Help us. Help us to number our days that we may live for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that his return draweth nigh. Help us to redouble our efforts. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.